Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. As promised, William Albrecht with us, and we're going to talk about Mary. If you have questions about two big Marian feasts this month, it's probably more Marian feasts. I don't know. My guess is there are Marian feasts I don't even know about, but two big ones this month, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I tell you what, William Albrecht, always out there defending the Virgin Mary. And so, look, I'll tell you what, if you don't agree with the Catholic view on Mary, you're welcome to call and talk with William. He's happy to talk with you, 888-318-7884. Or if you're just a Catholic who's interested in learning more or having a clarification of about Mary, 888-318-7884. William Albrecht, welcome. Thanks so much for being here with us.
My brother, great being here with you. Every time I'm here, I have a great time. So I know I'm going to have a fantastic time here again today, brother.
Well, you do two things here, and you're the rare person who does both English and Spanish programming here. You do Catholic Answers, and then sometimes you do Respuestas Católicas.
That's correct.
I don't know if you listened to the last hour, but I spoke Spanish last hour. It was very
impressive.
Oh, yes. It was very impressive. Yes.
My goodness, I'm going to be definitely bummed. Definitely got to go back.
Yeah, you're going to have to go back and check over. You don't want to miss that. All right, so Mary, first of all, let me ask you this, just biographically. How did you come to be a guy who loves Mariology, loves Mary, and wants to defend her?
I began debating about 20 years back, Cy. And debating a bunch of different topics, defending the Catholic faith. And eventually, probably about 10 years back, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, if there's an area where you believe that the church needs, you know, work in, for me to particularly put a lot of my efforts into, guide me, show me. And, you know, it would be a whole show that I would have to do to really say all of the signs that I got. But everything began pointing to doing work in the Marian dogmas, including putting people in my life that are top Mariologists that became very good and close friends of mine, working on translating a lot of documents that we didn't have before in English into English on church fathers that talk about the Marian dogmas. Just began working on them many years back now, and I have not stopped. And it seems like every time I say, okay, I've debated that topic a lot. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? And the Lord points me right back to defending Holy Mother Mary. I've got no complaints at all.
If you want to talk with William, 888-318-7884, you are going to be debating again, in the Advent season, defending Our Lady. I feel like you're going to go to the front of the line at the end of this life. We'll all be behind you. I'd be like, oh, what'd you do? Well, I didn't defend Our Lady in the season of Advent like William did, so I'm behind him. But patristicpillars.com, people can go. Yeah. Who are you going to debate, and what's the topic?
I'm going to be debating prominent Protestant apologist Matt Slick on the topic of whether or not we should ask Holy Mary to pray for us. Oh. Yeah, is it biblically, is there a basis to ask saints to intercede? And then if we look in the early church, is there a basis to ask Holy Mary to intercede? So I'm really excited for that. And to add another point, it'll be my fourth Advent in a row, having a Marian debate defending Holy Mother Mary. I'm really, really happy about that.
Yeah, because you're not going to do purgatory. That's why. Because you're, man. I mean, you're so.
I hope to the Lord.
All right. I know that offends some. So if you want to complain about my little jests, you're welcome to call as well. 888-318-7884, 888-318.
So can I say one thing as well for the audience?
Yeah.
They're going to love to hear this. In January or February, God willing, we're also working on putting together an incredible debate in Spanish for Respuestas Católicas on Mary.
Oh, really?
They're going to really,
who are you
really
going to debate?
Love that.
En español?
No, I gotta hold off on that because I'm talking to three different people right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I should iron that out soon. But hey, if people want to find out, they got to keep tuning into the Catholic Answers every day.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
Got you.
This might throw the debate in your favor, but you're doing it in Spanish. Debate yeah. someone who doesn't speak Spanish. I think that
I was
will,
thinking of deba- I was
you
thinking
will
debate
kill
you.
That. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'll go awesome. 888-318-7884. All right. Look, I mentioned the two big Marian feasts. The great Marian feast, I don't think Mary would mind me saying this, is the Immaculate Conception. This is the great feast this month of Mary. Not there is a more important feast. It's the birth of the Lord. But the big Marian feast is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. What is it that Catholics believe? What do we just say in some succinct way? What do we believe about the Immaculate Conception of Mary?
Yeah, we believe at the very first moment of Holy Mary's existence, at the very first moment of her conception, she was created without any stain of original sin. And we believe that comes directly from Christ. That means that Holy Mary had no stain of original sin. And that special kind of grace given to Holy Mother Mary allowed her to grow up living a completely holy, virtuous life. And every walk of her life was a walk that followed in the footsteps of what God wanted for her. She was a perfect disciple. And of course, as we know very well, Si, the greatest of God's creation.
Yes, the greatest of God's creations. If you'd like to talk about, look, I was going to say call, but don't. Every single line is full. I want you to call, but call later. All right. I guess a lot of people want to talk about Mary. All right with you, if we just go straight to the phones then?
Anything, brother. I'm up for anything.
All right. William Albrecht is our guest. PatristicPillars.com is where you can go to find out what he does. Let's go to Nicholas in Missouri watching on YouTube. Hello, Nicholas. Go ahead with your question for William.
All right. Hi, William. My name is Nicholas. My question is about the genealogy of Mary. And something that came to me was that in the New Testament, it's no mention of Mary having any male relatives like brothers, which I feel like Numbers 36 would have applied to her, where she would have to marry within the family of her tribe. And Numbers 36 kind of says, like, cousins, which if that's the case, and she married her cousin, that would be Joseph, that would mean that she is very much from the Davidic line just because she's someone who would follow the laws, which means she would be marrying her cousin. She is Davidic in that sense, and we don't need to have a genealogy of Mary in that case.
Well, let me answer that for you, Nicholas. You've got many early fathers that believed Holy Mary was from the Davidic line without noting or postulating as to how closely she would have been related to St. Joseph. So really, at the end of the day, that really is just speculation. We simply do not know. There really is no indication in the Bible as to her precise genealogy. And in early church history, there really is no indication either. We just simply know what the church has been revealed to us, what the Bible tells us very clearly, what the early fathers say, and the early fathers are very clear that Holy Mary was a perpetually vowed virgin from the earliest of ages. And we know that because we've got a very early document. Now, we don't believe this document is inspired, but we believe the Proto-Evangelium of James preserves teachings of the early Catholic Christian community. What did people believe in the early ages about Holy Mother Mary? And what do we have in that document? We have the names of her parents, St. Joachim, St. Anne, and we also know she's a vowed virgin. But as far as genealogy, as far as how closely related she would have been to St. Joseph, those are details that we can simply really just maybe ponder about and think about, but really the church has never revealed that to us.
What do you think?
I think that, I wasn't going to make speculation. I was just thinking that it would be fitting if number 36 applied. But that's understandable.
Hope that helped, Nicholas.
Very good, Nicholas. Thank you very much for starting us off. A lot of people want to talk about Mary. So on we go. Let's go to Michael in Illinois watching on YouTube. Michael, welcome. Go ahead with your question for William Albrecht.
Hi. My first question, because kind of a two-parter, sorry, how does one become consecrated to Mary? Like, are there any rules or regulations or whatever?
Very early on in early church history, the great St. John of Damascus, classically thought of to be the final church father, not so early, but final listed church father, was very clear that devoting oneself and becoming consecrated to Mary really meant just simply having a devotion and asking Mary to pray for you to draw you closer to Christ. Now, today we live in a wonderful time when we've had a lot of incredible saints that have lived. that talk about, hey, you can become consecrated to Holy Mary by saying the rosary this amount of times, by praying these amount of prayers. There are a lot of different ways to consecrate yourself to Mary. Ultimately, what does consecration to Holy Mary do? It draws you closer to the Lord. So you can look and you can say, hey, I like that consecration that is done in Mexico. Or, hey, I love that one done in Germany. Really, any kind of consecration that, of course, is to Mary will bring you closer to Christ. There really isn't one in particular. All you do is look at one that a great saint may have followed, follow that consecration, and I can guarantee you will be drawn closer to her son. That is what Holy Mary wants. Holy Mary wants everybody to become closer to Christ, to become closer to the faith. And I guarantee you, if you devote yourself to Holy Mother Mary, that will happen without a doubt, brother.
Michael?
Okay. Thank you. That was really clarifying. My second question is, what is the church's criteria for, like, approving or kind of, like, I guess, accepting, or just, like, for laymen to know, like, the criteria for Mary, for genuine Marian apparitions and or visions?
Yeah, the church is incredibly meticulous in looking into Marian apparitions and visions. And very often, many times, it can take many years, decades maybe, or even longer, to approve an apparition. Very often, the church has got to look into it, investigate, study, make sure the apparition, there are multiple witnesses. And here's another thing the church has always done meticulously, Michael. Church has always said, does this completely fit in with what Catholic teaching is all about? In other words, is Mary drawing people closer to Christ? Is she pointing people towards worshiping the Holy Trinity? And you find that very often the church is incredibly meticulous. They'll say, look, we have all the indications that that is true. We have all the indications here of eyewitnesses, bishops that approve this, priests that speak very positively about that. And very often, after all of that is done, the church approves it. But we need to be very careful. We need to follow every apparition or the apparitions, excuse me, that the church has approved. Only the ones the church has approved. Now, sometimes the church will say, we're investigating this. This is not, it doesn't go against the faith. But so far, we haven't given it the stamp of approval. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but that is a good thing, Michael. I would be more worried if the church approved every apparition overnight. I'd say, hey, wait a minute, what is going on? But the fact that the church is incredibly meticulous means one important thing, Michael. We have been given very good shepherds to look over us, and I am very grateful for that.
Michael, thank you. That brings us to the break. I hope that answers both of your questions. We're talking Mary this hour. If you've got a question about Mary, William Albrecht is here to get you an answer. 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch your favorite EWTN show, series, or special, or listen to your favorite EWTN radio program at any time, day or night. EWTN On Demand brings all your favorites instantly. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Advent to you. Hey, I wanted to mention, I feel like a little conviction came over me yesterday when Tim Staples was talking about the Jubilee year, that I should mention the Jubilee year a bit because it's starting on New Year's Eve. So I'm going to try to mention it every day. I mean, not New Year's Eve, on Christmas Eve. So I'm going to try to mention it every day between now and Christmas Eve. If you want to find out about it, you can go to the Vatican has a website for it. Your parish might have information on it. The U.S. Catholic bishops have information on it. Or you can just type into your searcher, tell me about the 2025 Jubilee, and you can find information about it. Since the year 1300, You know, it's only 700 years, so it's a new practice in the Catholic Church. Since the year 1300, the Church has been celebrating regular Jubilee years. First, at the beginning, I think it was every 50 years. Now it's every 25 years. And there are graces for the whole world, not just for Catholics, graces for the whole world that come from those special Jubilees that are declared by the Church each 25 years. So check it out. It's coming up. I'll tell you what, Mary's going to be part of that Jubilee celebration. You know, you're a big fan of Mary, and I don't know if you know this, but she's got a very nice church in Europe that was just rededicated. Are you aware of this? That there's a lovely Marian church. It's a little place called Our Lady of Paris, and it burned about how many years ago? 4 or 5 years ago. And it's back.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Europe has a lot of really, really nice churches devoted to Holy Mother Mary. Now, I'm very well aware of the ones around Germany as I go there very often. Praise the Lord that church is back. And hey, here's the most important thing. We got to get that church filled with people. We got to get people to Mass, brother.
You got the right attitude. What I hear is people, it's not a rushing stream yet, but there is a building trickle, so to speak, in France of people who are going back to Mass, especially young people, young couples with kids.
And I've been told that by people that live over there. And I can tell you, over there in England and Germany, we've got more and more people going to Mass. Praise the Lord. Hopefully that kind of a thing becomes a revival. And, you know, people are telling me, hey, it's a revival. Praise the Lord. We got to get people to Mass.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Gail in Missouri, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Gail, welcome. Go ahead with your question for William Albrecht.
Hi. I have always been very devoted to Mary, but I need to know how to get even more devoted to her because of, as we get older, more things come into your life that you need more strength. I mean, my husband is an atheist now, and he used to be Catholic, so I'm happy for the strength that I have living with someone like that now, who used to be a Catholic. I have a daughter who was born on Immaculate Conception. Wow. And now she's always saying, why didn't you abort me? And she was my son, so she's transgender. So I'm dealing with some very powerful demons, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I need more strength, even though I was raised, thankfully, in a Catholic school. And I got a lot of my strength about Mary during those, you know, elementary years. But do you have some information or just to give me some more strength? To get closer to Mary.
Without a doubt. Now, Gail, let me ask you briefly. Are you saying the rosary? Are you getting to Mass?
I do, yes.
Okay, and you get to Mass as well. Now, the best thing that you can do is get to our Lord at Mass. Get to partake of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. And to pray without ceasing. Let me tell you one thing, Gail. There is a wonderful saint that we venerate today, Saint Monica. She prayed and prayed without ending for her son, St. Augustine, who was not in the faith. And it seemed like a very dark, dark path. And well, it didn't seem like it was a dark path that he was going down, living a very sinful life. And she never stopped praying for him. And eventually, he became Catholic. He came to the Catholic faith. As dark as things may seem, do not ever stop praying. And I can tell you, St. Monica had a great devotion to our Immaculate Mother Mary. St. Augustine, when he became Catholic, followed in that and had a wonderful devotion to Holy Mother Mary. In fact, one of the things he says is, I don't want to hear anything in regards to sin when it comes to Mary. He loved Holy Mother Mary. My advice to you is to pray without ceasing. Never think, even in the darkest of times, never think that the Lord has abandoned you. Because I tell you one thing, there at the foot of the cross, when Holy Mother Mary was undergoing a very tumultuous time, she never lost faith ever. Ask for her to draw you closer to God and ask for the intercession for your wonderful family. I tell you right now, it is never too late. I promise you, it is never too late. Do not stop praying. Say, Lord, help me. Give me strength. Ask Holy Mary, draw me closer to your son. And hey, unharden the heart of my husband, of my family. I guarantee you, you will see results very soon, Gail. I guarantee you, the Lord will never abandon you. Do not ever lose hope.
Gail, I hope that's helpful to you. Also, as an encouragement, I love to send out the book we have called Secrets from Heaven. It's on the parables and sayings of Jesus. So a reading I think that you will enjoy. And I thank you very much for the call. I do hope that that was helpful to you. Marilyn is in Omaha, Nebraska, listening, as people in Omaha do, on Spirit Catholic Radio. Marilyn, welcome. Go ahead with your question for William.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just got through carrying the groceries in, so I'm a little out of breath.
All right, no William worries. And I, we'll just talk among ourselves while you catch your catch your breath.
No, cool.
Did you get anything good?
I mean, I love this.
All right, but
I love the show. It's fantastic.
All right.
For 34 years, we've been doing Our Lady of Perpetual Help in our
beautiful
parish, and it's really cool. And this thing has been bugging me. We know there's traditions that are different, but Mary was consecrated at a young age, and I've been to the Holy Land, and I've seen all these places that were related to Mary. It's wonderful. But I got confused as to what's the tradition. If she was consecrated, does that mean she lives in the temple forever? And then how does she end up in a situation where she's going to have a baby and there's St. Joseph involved? So do you know the tradition?
That's a great question, Marilyn. So let me be very clear. The church has never dogmatized that one tradition is better than the other. In the terms of, some people believe, and we'll get into the question of the consecration, some people believe that the brothers and sisters in the Bible of Christ were children of St. Joseph from a previous marriage. And then some people believe that he was a virgin just like Holy Mother Mary, and that the brothers and sisters were cousins. Well, there really isn't one traditional belief that is better in between those two. Now, I have one that I prefer. But the church has never said, well, they got to be cousins. Well, they got to be, children of Joseph from a previous marriage. What the church does tell you, and that we know without a doubt, is they were not children of Holy Mother Mary. Now, in terms of whether or not Mary was a consecrated virgin in the temple, being a consecrated virgin doesn't mean you're going to be in the temple 24/7. It means that you consecrated yourself to the Lord in the temple. But without a doubt, you go about living your life as a good, holy Jewish woman. And we know that because we have other evidence in early Jewish history of women being consecrated virgins. They go about living their lives, but they have dedicated their lives to the Lord as being chaste virgins. And we have this also in very early Christianity. So Mary very well could have consecrated herself at a very early age and lived a life out as a wonderful Jewish woman the rest of her life, which we know she did do. Now, the other issue as to Mary getting married. Mary truly did get married to St. Joseph. Now, was St. Joseph merely a protector? No, he was a protector and husband as well. Truly loved her. Indeed, remember, even though he is the foster father of Christ, what does Christ call him? His father. That is his father. Even though it's not of the flesh, that's his father. That is indicative to us of a very close, holy family. And a beautiful imagery as well. By the way, for very early imagery of Holy Mary being consecrated in the temple, Marilyn, look at the document, the Protoevangelium of James. We do not think that that is on par with sacred scripture, but it is a document that has early traditional beliefs showing that from the very get-go, everyone believed Holy Mary was a perpetual virgin. In fact, Marilyn, all of the early fathers teach it from the earliest of times.
Marilyn, what do you think?
Well, I think that's wonderful. You never, the traditions, we have our own traditions here in the United States, and I think we tend to think that way. And it's good to know the truth. And I love this program. Thanks. I never get to call. You guys are great. I'll hang up so you can talk to some more wonderful people.
No, you're probably hanging up so you can put the groceries away, Marilyn. Let's be honest about this.
I got it done.
Oh, you did?
Okay. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. It was a great pleasure to talk with you. All right, I tell you what, I got time. I'll do another call. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Keel is listening in Cleveland, Ohio. Keel, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for William Albrecht.
Yes, this is good. So it's been a long road as a Protestant, but I feel like I'm like beginning to embrace the Catholic teaching on Mary. And then today I was listening to Chris Stefanik talking about all that the Virgin of Guadalupe accomplished. And mentioned that Mary asked that the chapel be built in her name, or in her honor, rather. And that just kind of, the thing that really allowed me to believe what you teach about Mary is that you are so insistent that she always points to her son. And, you know, I looked and looked, and even like in the rose window where Mary is in the center, that kind of freaked me out. But then I realized, no, she's holding the child in her lap. It is about him. So I don't know. What do I do with this thing about her asking that a chapel be built in her name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the thing, Keel. Every time that we give honor to any saint, including Holy Mother Mary, that honor is directly going to God. And simply because God is all great and we're to worship God and God alone and venerate creatures, doesn't mean that we don't give great honor to the creatures. Indeed, in the Bible, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 28, and before and after, when the archangel Gabriel comes in to greet Mary, he greets Mary with a very unusual greeting. Hail, full of grace. How is that unusual? Because it's a greeting that is exclusive to her in the particular kind of way he greets her. He's giving her great honor. Here's the other thing, Keel. Mary, that is full of grace, we are told all generations are to call her blessed. We've got to follow along those lines and follow the biblical command.
Keel, I want to continue the conversation. If you could hang on through the break. This is a I don't know, 90 seconds, 120 seconds, something like that. And then we'll come back and we'll finish the conversation, if you're able. Our guest is William Albrecht. We're talking about Mary. If you have questions about Mary, if you want to pose challenges about Mary, 888-318-7884. Many people have forgotten just how revolutionary the Bible creation stories are. But the first three chapters of Genesis are a powerful challenge to anyone in any generation who would undervalue human lives. In the Beginning, the new book by Monica Migliorino Miller will take you on a fantastic journey through the first chapters of Genesis, unfolding the richness of life as God sees it. Get In the Beginning today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first two centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
On the next Beacon of Truth, more on Our Lady of Guadalupe and Soulful Psalm 33.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Talking about Mary. There's two big Marian feasts, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and tomorrow, it's tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, big, giant feasts in Mexico. But increasingly, I think all across the Americas, people understand how important Our Lady of Guadalupe is. But and William Albrecht is here to answer questions about Mary. But here's the deal with Keel in Cleveland, Ohio. She's coming into the Catholic Church. She's making her way in, towards the Catholic Church. And yeah. She looks at Mary asking for a church to be built in her own honor in during the apparitions at Guadalupe. And so she asks, like, how does that comport with this idea that Mary is always supposed to be pointing towards Jesus?
Yeah, let me continue with that, Keel. I hope you're still there. What we have noticed in every approved Marian apparition that the church has approved is when churches are built in dedication in honor of Holy Mother Mary, we have had incredible amounts of conversion. That is the case there in Mexico. And I mean, that is a massive case in Mexico with millions converting. And today, well, Mexico is Catholic, as Catholic as you can be. The other case I can think of, Kiel, is in Germany. And I'd love for you to look it up. You don't really hear a whole lot about this, but it is an approved Marian apparition, one of the very few in Europe that are approved, that being Our Lady of Altati. Now, over there, mass conversions as well, massive amounts of conversion. Now, here's the one thing, Kiel. Holy Mother Mary is always pointing people towards Christ. As a Protestant, that would make me happy, because when I was coming to the Catholic Church, I remembered the words of Mary, the words of do whatever he tells you in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2, verse 5. And then I remember what Holy Mary says in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. Let it be done to me according to thy word. Every time Mary will point you towards Christ, and that is always the example. A chapel built in her honor will definitely bring people to convert, and they will become Trinitarians. And that is what we are as Catholics, and there's nothing more beautiful than that. And I can guarantee you, Keel, that is Holy Mother Mary's job, and that will happen for people that become consecrated to her.
Keel, I wanted to come back to you. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, even during the break, as I, you know, just hearing the first part of the answer, I just started thinking about, okay, so what if this is just like, this is strategic? I mean, God is the master strategist, I guess. That if it's in her honor and people are coming to her, what will she do? She will point them to him. So yes, that does make sense. And then he just kind of confirmed that with everything he just said. I do have one question, though, that came up as he was talking. So the fact that it is a chapel dedicated to her, does it serve any different function than any other chapel? And what's the difference between a chapel and a church?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a tiny church. Mass can be given there as well. And does it serve any other purpose? Well, any church, any chapel dedicated to Holy Mother Mary, if there has been an approved apparition there, without a doubt, that is a significant difference. Now, there are chapels all around the world that have been dedicated to Holy Mother Mary, but if it is a chapel built in honor of her apparition that the church has approved, you can guarantee that there is a significant difference there. And that is an important place that the church will allow pilgrimages to be made there, because that is a significant difference. And of course, remember, here's the key word, Keel. The church must approve the apparition. When the church gives a stamp of approval, you know you are on solid ground. Now, I know there are many other apparitions where our friends may say, well, you know, is the church can ever approve that? I'm becoming restless. Hey, there's many other areas the church has approved. Be patient. We guarantee you the church is very meticulous in everything that she does.
Keel, thanks. I love it when you call. I hope that was helpful to you, and I hope we'll get to talk with you again. I'm noticing lots more calls came in while we were talking with you, so I'm going to continue on. But thank you again for the call. Alan's in Columbus, Ohio, listening on the EWTN app. Alan, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for William Albrecht.
Well, I'm glad to be here. And just to start off, a little fact that I came across a little while ago. And I'm sure you'll hear jaws drop all across the country. Two people that were very devoted to Mary, Martin Luther and John Calvin.
I've heard that. Yeah, you can confirm that, William, correct?
Yes, without a doubt. In fact, Martin Luther remained devoted to Holy Mother Mary till his dying day. He famously celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and the Feast of the Bodily Assumption of Holy Mother Mary, remained devoted to the very end. And Cy, I know that because there are texts of Luther that famously have not been translated from German to English that I've gone into to look at, and I guess I shouldn't be shocked. He never lost his devotion to Holy Mother Mary all the way to the end. And I can confirm with Calvin, even though Calvin doesn't write as much on Holy Mother Mary as Luther did, Calvin was very, very clear. Mother Mary remained perpetual virgin to the very end. Indeed, if you didn't hold to the perpetual virginity, for Calvin, you were a heretic. You were on the level of an Arian if you denied the perpetual virginity. Now, Cy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to be really hard to find a Protestant church today holding to those beliefs, unfortunately.
Now, that wasn't the question you had, though. That you just wanted to make that point. Am I correct?
The question that I have is just a bit of curiosity. How much autonomy does Mary have? In other words, for these apparitions, does she go places or is she sent?
Yeah, it's a great question. Holy Mother Mary would appear only where Christ would allow it. The reason being, we know Mary is bodily present in heaven, and we know that if any saint is allowed to communicate with us in any way, and we know there have been some extraordinary cases where that has happened, anytime that is the case, it is because Christ, our Lord and Savior, has allowed it. And we know that because the messages of these great saints, and in particular, Holy Mother Mary, what are they doing? They are passing along the truths found in the Bible. Turn to Christ, become Trinitarian, get to Mass, partake of the Holy Eucharist. All of these are messages that our Lord taught all throughout the Gospels, and they're messages that Our Lady brings. And even some of these apparitions, Our Lady's very clear. They're messages that she is bringing from God. One of the earliest ones, Alan, that I can think of is the early apparition to Saint Gregory the Wonder Worker. Now, that is in the 200s, and this can be verified in ancient documents. In the early 200s, Mary is very clear. She has been allowed to appear to St. Gregory the Wonder Worker to lay out for him catechetical truths on the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. What happens after that? St. Gregory the Wonder Worker becomes one of the greatest Trinitarians in the early Ante-Nicene era. But it's very clear, Holy Mother Mary has been allowed to appear by Christ. And every time she does appear, well, she always has a message to draw people closer to Christ. Alan, that was a message in the Bible. And that will be the message Mary carries along every time Mary communicates with us.
Well, I thank you very much for that. And thank you very much for all your good work. And have a happy feast day tomorrow.
God bless you, brother.
Yes, happy feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Thank you very, very much. The patroness of all the Americas, by the way, just to remind folks, the patroness of all the Americas, her feast is tomorrow. Another Alan is in Minnesota. Alan, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for William Albrecht.
Good evening. I was traveling down the road late one night, and my YouTube was going through some automatic scrolling, and it was about Mary. And there was someone on there that stated that a saint had proclaimed that if you say the rosary every day for 3 years, that there will be generational salvation in your family. And then there were some other ones like that. And I'm devoted to, I try and say the rosary at least once a day, not for those reasons, but I'm just curious, is there in fact truth to some of those things like that?
To be quite honest with you, Alan, in terms of saying the rosary every day for 3 years from a particular saint, I am not aware of any particular saint that has said that. But I will tell you this, anytime you pray the rosary, anytime you pray the Hail Mary, anytime you pray the Our Father, anytime you call out to God, I can guarantee you that you will be blessed. Anytime you pray for your family, even though you may not realize it or see it, I can guarantee you the Lord is showering blessings upon your family. So don't think that, well, goodness, if I do not pray the rosary every day for 3 years strictly, if I miss one day, then I won't gain those blessings for myself and my family. No, I can tell you that right now. God is not legalistic in that manner. And I'm very sure that the saint may have said that this is an incredibly important devotion. So he recommended praying 3 years in a row, perhaps, as a symbolic gesture of our belief in the Holy Trinity. Now, I haven't examined what particular saint has said this. I'd have to look at that. But I can guarantee you, Alan, anytime you pray the rosary, any prayer calling out to God, you will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. Never forget to pray. And Alan, Don't forget to get to Holy Mass as well. And get your family to Holy Mass as well, if you're able to, brother.
Alan, I got to say thanks and leave it there. I hope that was helpful. A very nice call. But we got to take this break. We'll be right back with more discussion about Mary with William Albrecht on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Another great podcast on EWTN Podcast Central is The Tangent. Father Sam and Matt connect Catholic apologetics, theology, and prayer to sports, art, and music. You can hear this and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's delightful to have William Albrecht with us today. Tomorrow's the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. A few days ago was the Universal Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So we're talking about Mary. And some of the questions have been challenging. Some have been curious. Some have maybe been pious. Whatever. I'm just trying to make the point that whatever question you've got, whatever angle you're coming at Mary from, you're welcome to ask your question. You want to pose a challenge about Mary? You want to just ask a curious question? Whatever. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. We'll go to Carlos in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, listening on the great Guadalupe Radio Network. Carlos, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question. Carlos? I don't know what's...
Si, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, I was going to say, Si, I'm very proud of you.
For what?
Because you're saying the number a lot slower now.
Ah!
I just wanted to say I'm very proud of you and wanted to throw that out first.
Oh, that's very nice of you, because it actually... you had an effect on me. I've been trying to say it slower.
You have, and you're very successful, and thank you for the show. Two questions, and one of them I thought about after the sweeter, so my apologies, but I think it's an important one in terms of our theme today with our Blessed Mother. The first question is, I think his name is William. I'm sorry if I got it, the name
yes,
wrong.
Yes, William Albrecht.
You got it right.
Yes.
You got it. You got it, brother.
Awesome. Thank you, William. So the first question is, your thoughts on the apparition in Seydoun, Egypt, seemed like it was an incredible event for a very long time, like Medjugorje. And the second question is, what was the cost to Mother Mary in doing the will of God and giving birth to our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah, let me touch upon that. The Egyptian apparition seems to have a lot of people hopping on board that is rock solid, fantastic. So I've only heard good things about that. In terms of the actual words that were spoken, now that is an area I haven't dug into. But one thing that is wonderful, Carlos, is I've talked to Coptic Catholic priests, Coptic Orthodox priests, deacons, a bunch of people from over there, or people that are have family that live over there. And I've only heard positive things. I've heard really good things about it. Now, let me get to your other question. What was the cost that Mary endured to say yes to God? Now, it was a great one. Let me tell you why. Holy Mother Mary is a great example of the greatest of the disciples of the Lord. The first one to say yes to the word and live it out completely. But here's the amazing thing, Carlos. When Holy Mother Mary was told of the incredible, wonderful, miraculous birth, miraculous conception that would occur, what did she say? Let it be done to me according to thy word. And that is indicative that anything that the Lord has in her path, she is open to that. She wants to serve the Lord. She wants to worship the Lord. But then here's the other thing, Carlos. In the Gospel of St. Luke, right after we hear about that wonderful conception, that wonderful birth, the miraculous conception, miraculous birth, in Luke chapter 2, we hear about a prophecy of Simeon. Now, we know Simeon is an old and aged man, and I'm going off the top of my head, so I might get a few words wrong here. But in chapter 2, we know Simeon has been kept alive long enough to see the Lord. And we're told what he will then do in the Gospel of St. Luke, Carlos, he will quote all from the Old Testament to indicate that before his eyes is salvation, our Lord, and a light to the Gentiles. Now, what is he quoting from, Carlos? He's quoting from the suffering servant passages of Isaiah. He's telling the Holy Family, this child is going to lead to much, to many tumultuous times because people will not believe and people will reject him. But then towards the end of Luke chapter 2, after saying this child would lead to the fall of many, he turns to Mary, tells Mary, a sword will pierce your soul too. Meaning, yes, just like the suffering servant Messiah, Christ, will suffer, you're going to suffer too. But what kind of way will Mary suffer? At the foot of the cross. And throughout her life, we know the devil hates Mary. In the Genesis 3, we know Mary is an enemy of the devil. The devil cannot stand her. So Mary's yes meant Mary would undergo trials and tribulations all her life, but she would never, ever leave our Lord's side as the most faithful disciple. And we know that directly from the Bible and from the early church fathers as well, brother. I hope that helps.
Oh, absolutely, it helps. And I have to add a couple of comments. I'm on my way to 7 o'clock Mass, and you've given me some really nice thoughts to take with me to Mass. And then, of course, tomorrow with celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe, I'll 7 o'clock Mass as well, which is why I asked this question. The other comment I wanted to make is you guys do a very nice job. I am very grateful for your show. And, Sai, keep going. You're awesome. You guys take care.
Carlos is now my favorite caller, by the way. I would just like to say that. I love all the callers, but Carlos is my favorite caller. So, and you're going to have to up the ante if you want to be my favorite caller because he says the nicest things. Thanks, Carlos. And God bless you as you go to Mass. All right, I'm going to try to go quick now, get some people on here. We're talking Mary with William Albrecht. Pat's in Washington, D.C., listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Pat, go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. When I was born, I nearly died. And my mother, as she put it, put me in the hands of the Blessed Mother. And it is something that she repeated to me through her life, including up to her death this past year. Wow. I am a practicing Catholic, and in recent years, ever since the pandemic, I've been saying the rosary almost every day. My question, and I've never had anything against Mary or any concern about Mary, but I wasn't particularly drawn to her. I do remember Pope John Paul writing that not only should we go to Jesus through Mary, but we should go to Mary through Jesus, which I always was sort of confused about that. And I'm just wondering, what advice would you have for a person with the life history that I've described in terms of coming to know Mary better and the consequence of that for one's relationship with Jesus?
Pat, that's a great question. Now, I want you to think of what the Bible tells us about Holy Mother Mary. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, we have a great prophecy that is fulfilled. And that is the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that a virgin will conceive and give birth to who? To a child, Emmanuel with us. That means God with us. that means that that virgin is the mother of God, literally God with us. And then we're told that that mother is the mother of our Lord, according to the words of Saint Elizabeth in the Gospel of Saint Luke. So we've got an incredible figure already right there before our very eyes in the Bible, coming to life before our eyes. But then we stop and wonder, what does it mean to be consecrated to Mary as a baby, as a child? Well, Mary is the greatest of pro-life advocates. She's pro-life from the very beginning. When the archangel appears to her, Mary doesn't waver and say, well, you know, that's too great a responsibility. Mary would have been very well aware of the prophecy of Isaiah 7. But Mary doesn't stop and say, man, that's too big a, too big a commitment. No, Mary says, let it be done to me according to thy word, even though Mary was a perpetually vowed virgin. And that's incredible. But then, what else does it mean? Well, Pat, I'd recommend you look at Revelation 12, because Mary appears there, present in heaven. And if you ever wonder what it is to go to Jesus through Mary, towards the end of that chapter, we know the devil is at war with a woman and the child. And we're told towards the end of the chapter that after the devil is kicked out of heaven, we're told he goes to make war. But with who? We're told with the children of the woman. But they're not physical children that the woman has given birth to physically. Rather, we're told that they are all the ones that keep the commandments of Christ. That tells us Holy Mother Mary is the mother of the church. And right there, you've got evidence that we can ask Holy Mother Mary to intercede for us, and she will bring us closer to Christ. She's the mother of the church. And I tell you one thing, Pat, as my spiritual mother, I want her interceding for me every day.
Pat, I'm going to leave it there and keep going because there are still calls on the line, and I don't want to leave people without a chance to ask William their question. William Albrecht is our guest. We're talking about Mary, and Dave is in Cincinnati listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Dave, go ahead with your question.
Hello. We are taught that the love between the Father in heaven and Jesus equals the Holy Spirit. Are we taught what the love between Jesus and Mary equals?
Yeah, Dave, I wouldn't exactly utilize that language, the love between the Father and the Son equals the Holy Spirit, because we need to be very careful that we believe that the Father is a person distinct from the Son. The Son is a person, and so is the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe that the love of the Father and the Son very clearly is resonating through the graces bestowed upon us from the Holy Spirit. Everything that the Holy Trinity does, they all do together. That is why we believe in one true God. The other point that I would point out, yes, we're told directly in the Bible where our Lord refers to Holy Mother Mary as woman. That's not disrespectful at all. That is pointing to her as that woman of Genesis 3. And that woman of Genesis 3 is the great woman that will give birth to the Messiah. She indeed is the wonderful woman. And if you want any other example of the love between Christ and Mary, right there on the cross, Dave, before our Lord expires, he entrusts his Holy Mother to the care of the blessed disciple because he loves her so much that he wants her to be protected. And that is a great example of the love he had and has forever for his mother.
I'm again going to leave it there, Dave. Try to get everybody on. Our last caller, John in Oklahoma, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. John, if you can be quick with your question, I think William could get you an answer.
Okay. Here's my question. Was Mary always predestined to be the mother of Christ? Because there was a good chance her growing up, she could have messed up.
She could have sinned.
And she could have.
Okay.
And then it would have thrown a monkey wrench into it.
William?
Yeah. That's a great question, John. And with that question, we know very well that God is aware of everything. God knows everything ahead of time. Was Holy Mother Mary always the intended Holy Mother? Yes, because Holy Mother Mary was conceived without any stain of original sin. God knew from the beginning that Holy Mother Mary would follow in the path of God every step of the way. That doesn't mean that Holy Mary did not, have free will. She did have free will. But her free will was filled with the grace of God every step of the way, and she always followed in the footsteps of the Lord's will.
Wow, Pat. I mean, no, excuse me. That was John. Thank you very much for being so quick with the question. We were able to get you an answer. And I don't know. We don't have a prize for you, William, but you answered every single call. I wish we had some sort of prize that we could give you.
The prize is you're an incredible moderator, Si. You do a great job.
Well, thank you. Okay. Carlos has been replaced. Now you're my favorite, William.
Well, I got to say one other thing, Si. I think you're tied with Edgar, though.
Oh, well, that hurts. But Edgar's, he's gloating right now. He's in there looking at me gloating. That's rude. Hey, tomorrow's the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Maybe say your rosary tomorrow. Maybe get in touch with Our Lady. Maybe ask her to get you in touch with her son, Jesus. That's what she wants to do more than anything else. Our guest has been William Albrecht. Check him out at, don't tell me, no, yeah, patristicpillars.com.
Patristicpillars.com.
That'll do it for us. Yep. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.